This contrast between Saul and David continued. But what stands out here is the way that God protected David even while he's on the run, daily fleeing from Saul. And I want us to see here tonight the grace that God gives David, the various kinds of help and strength that he gives to David. And I think that we can see in similar ways he gives to his people today who trust in him. So David, we see how he comes to help another city of Judah here called Keilah. And so let's read here beginning in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 23. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite these Philistines?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah.' And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand.' So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. It came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David and to Keilah, he came down with the ephod in his hand." So as we see this chapter, we're going to see four different ways that God helps David. And here in verses 1 through 6, we see that God gives David strength to help others. God gives David strength to help others, even while he is on the run from Saul. We see that he hears about trouble in the city of Keilah. Again, this is a town of Judah. This is David's home tribe, his home area. And he hears about this fighting and the robbing of the threshing floors. And you know that if the threshing floors are being robbed, that means that the food supply is in danger. The Philistines coming up and taking the grain while they're threshing it. And so David hears about this. He wants to help these fellow Israelites. He's a generous, caring servant of the people. But then we see him seeking God's will for this. He comes to God in verse 2 and asks. God gives him assurance. And then he tells his men, "Here's what we're going to do." And they are afraid. Evidently, where they were right now, they were in hiding. They think about going to fight the Philistines or going to Keilah. And this is an area that's closer to the Philistine territory, and they are afraid. And God confirms, again, his will, that this is what they should do. And then in verses 5 and 6, we see that God gave them the victory to drive the Philistines away from this town in Judah. But God gives David the strength to help others. Now, I think that's significant when we think about the position David is in. David himself needs help. David only has a few hundred men to help him. Saul has thousands of men, and we'll see how he uses those. But David was not really in a position to try to help others. He could have had every excuse not to. He could have said, "Sorry, Keilah, my fellow brother Israelites, I am on the run from Saul. I have my own troubles to take care of, let alone yours." But we see here that God clearly confirmed his will to David two times, that God wanted David to help his brethren, to go and to help them and save them. And that may be the case for us today. You know, we certainly have our own troubles. We have our duties. We have our jobs. You know, some of us have, I don't, but some of you have farms, businesses, multiple jobs. And, you know, we could easily say, "Hey, I've got enough trouble of my own. I don't think I'm going to be able to help." But perhaps God is calling us to serve others also. And we may find out about people that are in trouble, and we may be burdened to help them, and we may feel that, we need to help them right away, and we may rush in, and we overlook what David did here. What did he do? He prayed. He came to God first, and he said, "Do you want me to do this? Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And God confirmed his will to him there, and that's something we need to do as well. We need to stop first and ask God and pray. Look to God's Word. Perhaps that door will close. Perhaps it will stay open. But it's just practicing trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And we've always got to stop and do that. And it's so easy for us just to go ahead and overlook that step. But we need to do that as well. But God gives David strength to help others here. And then in this second half of the chapter, verses 7 through 29, David is on defense. We see him on offense here. He's going in to help. And now the remainder of the chapter, we see the situation that he's in. He is running from Saul. But we see several more ways that God helped David in the midst of this. Let's look at verse 7. It was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God has delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600 men, arose, departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. So we saw God gives David strength to help others. And now, secondly, we see another way that God helped him. And that is by giving David guidance. God gives David guidance here. Saul hears that David is in this city of Keilah, this city with walls and gates. Evidently, is only one way in, one way out, perhaps. And he thinks this is his perfect opportunity to go and to finally get David. And did Saul thank him for delivering that city? Here's David. He had gone and rescued a city of Israel. Here's the king of Israel. Does he thank David for what he's done? No, he wants to go and kill David. Think about what David wrote in Psalm 35:12. They rewarded me for good to the spoiling of my soul, evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. That's what David experienced many times in his life. He did good, and here it seems he's rewarded with evil. But David seeks God's will. He hears that Saul is planning this somehow. And what does he do again? He comes to God and he prays to the Lord. What should he do? He's asking God what he should do. And God reveals to David what would happen. That the citizens of Keilah would hand David over. And God knew what they would do. Perhaps these people were fearing the king. Perhaps they heard about what Saul had done to the city of Nob for their help to David. And they didn't want that same thing to happen to them. So perhaps they have this willingness to hand David over. But we see here that God knows what these people would have done if David had stayed. And God overrules their willingness to betray David. And God gives David his guidance. You know, we don't have an ephod today like David did, where he was able to ask these yes or no questions and find out God's will. But we do have the Bible. You know, we are able to, not bring down the ephod, but we can bring down our Bible. We can search our Bible and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And we can expect to be helped by reading our Bible. That's how God has spoken to us. And, of course, God has other ways of directing us. And he's certainly able to direct us, knowing things that we don't know, and to stop us from going in a certain direction and to point us in another direction. It's also significant here in this chapter, as we read on, how David and Saul make their decisions. We see David making decisions, and he is going to God. Now, he's not a perfect man, but in this chapter, he's a good example. He comes to God, "Lord, what do I do? What do you want me to do?" And Saul, all throughout this chapter, he relies on his human advisors. He's relying on messengers that tell him things about David and where David is. We don't see Saul going to God. Saul is just relying on things other human beings tell him. But David is going to God for guidance, and that's what we need to do as well. So God gives David guidance. And then thirdly, we see something else that God gives David here. Verse 16. Well, let's see, I didn't read verse 14. Let's read that. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." And the two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Here we see God gives David a good friend. David is on the run every day, verse 14 tells us, but God delivered him not into his hand. And you think about being in a situation like that every day, being in daily danger, daily trouble, every day running from somebody who's trying to kill you. That would very quickly become discouraging to you, I'm sure. And so God allows Jonathan, David's friend, to come. And we see what Jonathan did to help David. Verse 16. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. He was a godly friend. And he sought to encourage David in God. Strengthened his hand in God. We see that he also acknowledged that David was king. He was a self-denying friend. He very easily could have claimed his right to the throne, Saul being the king and his father. But Jonathan knew that that was not God's will. Jonathan knew that David was going to be king. And Jonathan had faith to believe God's promise about that and not put himself in the place where he shouldn't. And we see also that Jonathan was a constant friend. He renewed this covenant to him. They made a covenant before the Lord. We saw them doing that previously as well. And it didn't matter that David was on the run in the wilderness. And Jonathan could have very easily given up on David. Look at David. He's on the run. He's a victim. He's got nothing. And he's just got a few of these men that are with him. My father Saul has thousands. And why not give up on David? But he didn't do that. He believed God's promise. And so God sent him this friend. God gives David a good friend. And I think we need to see our duty to try to be this for other people. Say, well, I need this. Well, let's try to be this for other people. And let's try to be somebody who is like a Jonathan. Be a friend like that. Maybe we think about friends as being ones who, maybe share things or buy things or show things that they have. Hey, look at my fancy things that I have, or my earthly treasures. Hey, I want to show you the wonderful expensive things that I have, and let's share in this. And that's nice. But what we need to do for other people as a friend is to strengthen their hands in God. That's what we need to do. Encourage people in the Lord. And, you know, we think about the people that are in your life. Maybe it's your family. What can you do to do this for them, to encourage them in the Lord? That would be a way that you could show them that you love them, to encourage them in the Lord. And maybe it's parents for children. We should be doing that as parents. Church people. We need to do that for fellow church people. And, you know, as we think about our church being a place where God's people come together, this is what we want for people who come to our church. You know, we want to be a church, as church people, to have this sort of influence on other people, to strengthen them in the Lord, so that when we have interactions with them, with other people, they are encouraged in the Lord. I think that's what we ought to do. And if we will seek to be that kind of person for other people, I think that probably we'll have people who will do that for us. And so we see this, that God sent to David, Jonathan, a godly friend who encouraged him in the Lord. That's the kind of friend that we need to be for other people. And then finally, another way that God helped David was he just gave him protection from his enemies. And through the rest of the chapter, we see that. Look at verse 19. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place, where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, "Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they call that place Selah Hamalikoth. I didn't practice that one beforehand. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds at En-Gedi. So God gives David protection from his enemies. We see God protecting him from betrayal. David is in this wilderness of Ziph. Ziph is another town of Judah. David is fleeing from Saul. And what do those fellow Israelites of Judah, of David, do? They betray David. They go and talk to Saul. We know where David is. We'll help you come and find him. And we see how God overrules that, the Ziphites revealing where David was. And it so happens that we see David's spirit at this time, Psalm 54. You can turn over there if you would like, Psalm 54. The title of this psalm tells us that it was in this time that he wrote this. Notice the title. Says the Psalm of David, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, "Doth not David hide himself with us?" So evidently this was the psalm that David was writing during this time while he's on the run. Psalm 54. "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. So David is knowing what's going on here, and he's coming to God, and he's praying for God's help. We see that God is able to help us in our daily troubles. It may be a difficult situation for us, or maybe a person that is there every day that is a difficulty for us. We see that God did not take Saul away. You know, God allowed David to be every day running from Saul and having to deal with these people who were betraying him, his fellow Israelites. But God is able to help us in daily trouble like that. And we need psalms like this, which show us how we can cast our burdens on the Lord and to trust completely in him in these times. So God gives David protection from betrayal here, and then he protects him from this trap. David is able to flee to another wilderness here, Maon, another town of Judah, another wilderness area of Judah. And Saul pursues him there, verses 24 and 25. And it appears that all is lost from a human perspective. Look at verse 26 again. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. So David is in a place on a mountain where he is trapped. It seems from the end of the verse that Saul had surrounded the mountain in some way. Perhaps some of his troops on one side, some of his troops on the other side. They know David is there, and they're just going to come up that mountain and get him. And there's nowhere else he can go. But we see that in God's perfect timing, the Philistines attack Saul. Verses 27, 28. Was that just a coincidence? Just in that moment, God sends the enemies again to attack Saul. And Saul has to back off and go away. And David's able to come to En-Gedi. You know, it may be that at some points in our lives, we feel trapped. You know, it may be that everywhere we look, there is something surrounding us. It may look like at certain times that there are no resources. There are no people, no job, no place to live. You know, we may be trapped. We may feel trapped at certain times. But we see from this passage and many others that God is never trapped. You know, we may have run out of steps to take. Don't know what step to take. But God never runs out of steps to take. He always has a step to take in his will. And we see also from this passage that God may choose to use what we would least expect. Here we see David betrayed by his fellow Israelites. And what does God do? He sends the enemy to help David. He sends the Philistines to help David. Well, we wouldn't expect that. But God is able to do that in his will. He used the enemies to deliver David. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, says this: the wisdom of God is never at a loss for ways and means to preserve his people. The wisdom of God is never at a loss for ways and means to preserve his people. Again, David is not a perfect man, but David is the man that God has called and is preparing. God had David go through this period of running from Saul for several years. He was out on the run. But we see that even in the midst of that, God helped David. He gave him strength to help others. David needed a lot of help, but God put him in a place where he was able to help others. God gave David guidance. David sought that guidance. God gave David a good friend who was one who strengthened his hand in God. He encouraged him in the Lord. And then God gives David protection from his enemies. And God is able to give his people those same things today. And we need to seek his will. We need to remember to stop and pray and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? We need to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways and trust him to direct our paths. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and thank you for all the resources that you have. And even when we are at the end of our rope, so to speak, we know that you still have options, still have steps that you can take. We thank you for your wisdom and help us to put our trust in you, not in man, not in other people. We pray that we would acknowledge you in all of our ways, that we would come to you for direction. We know we don't have it in ourselves. We need it. We pray that you would give it to us. Thank you for what you've given us in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and we'll sing number 392 as we close. 392. Let's stand as we sing, O Jesus, I Have Promised. 392.
Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sight that dazzles, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend.
Thank you for coming tonight. May the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.